evening, if you'd like, you can be making your way to Luke chapter 10. Luke, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read the last five verses of this text in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, so good to be back here with you again this evening and open the Word of God together and study again tonight as we did this morning. Recently, we've had a couple studies with the college-age students in our home, and I really have enjoyed that. One of the things we talked about, I think it was the first study that we did a few months ago, had to do with wisdom and making choices. And I can't remember who it was now, if it was Steve Fontenot or one of the Wednesday night invitations. Someone brought up Luke, the 10th chapter, in this text about Mary and Martha. And this phrase in this text about the good portion just kind of struck me in terms of what we talked about in this college class. And we're not going to go down exactly the same road that we did with those young people, maybe some similar things. But I think it's a text that really can be beneficial to everyone. And we'll have some more to say about that in just a minute. But read this text with me in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is obviously a text that is a favorite for many ladies' Bible class books. Almost all of them, you're going to find at least one lesson about Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. And I think it's sad in some ways that the story is limited to that many times, that it's just a story that is used about women and their place in the home and about serving and how they can get too distracted with that and there's more important things to do. And I think that is certainly a point. It is a point in this text, a point we'll probably talk about to some degree, but really the application goes well beyond what's happening here just with Mary. This is a story that really has benefit for everyone. And I want us to think just for a minute, as is probably discussed in many of these books, about the reality that hospitality and showing hospitality is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. And what Martha is doing here is not bad. It is good. And this really plays into my thoughts at the outset of looking at this text, and that is that there are decisions in life, there are forks in the road in which we're not choosing between good and bad. We're choosing between what is good and what is better. And really, I think these are actually the more difficult choices. Choosing between good and bad is really pretty obvious. And even in the moment when we are pulled in by our desires, as James 1 talks about, we know something is wrong even when we choose to do it. We realize this is wrong, but our passions get the best of us, and so we make this bad choice. Or hopefully, we go the other direction. We realize we're being driven by our passions, and we say, "No, I'm going to make the good choice." And that's pretty obvious. That's a very clear decision. There is good and there is bad. But what is much more difficult most of the time is when you have a couple good options. And what you're trying to do is make the best decision with these good choices. When we were talking about this with the college age group, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1 about what discernment is, what wisdom is. And what I would suggest to you tonight is that wisdom is really about making the good choice. It's about choosing the good portion, choosing the good part. That's what wisdom's really about. There are all kinds of decisions that we have to make in life. And really what it comes down to is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 when he talks about let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This is what comes through knowledge of Jesus, through the knowledge of Scripture that we're gaining throughout time, that we have these principles, these ideas, and it's not always some passage that we turn to and put our finger on and say, well, this is the choice I have to make. It comes down to understanding, based on the will of God, what is the best choice in my life right now? What's going to please God and honor Him the most in this moment with these two choices that we have? It's interesting to me that if you look a few verses back in Luke 10, there is the story of the Good Samaritan. In this story, what we find are some choices that people are having to make. And it is almost in contrast in some ways to the story that's going to follow with Mary and Martha, that we have these two men who most would say are probably, at least in the story world here that is being presented by Jesus, on their way to serve in some capacity. So let me stop for just a second and let me ask, is remaining ceremonially clean, is that a good thing? Is being ritually pure, is that good? Well, I think that we would all say yes. And under this Old Testament system, that was certainly a good thing, a necessary thing, in fact, for the priest, at least, to do his service, possibly even the Levite, who had various tasks as well. They might not be operating as a priest, but they might have had other functions which would have made it necessary for them to be ritually pure. And we understand that that is a really good thing, but they have this choice to make as they're passing by this injured man on the street that's been beat up and left for dead. Am I going to choose between what is good or what is better? And while it is very obvious in the story that Jesus is telling us here what the choice should have been, the choice is not always that simple in life. We can imagine these men going down the road and they see this situation, and maybe the priest is on his way to serve in some capacity. And he's having to think in his mind, well, what do I do here? Do I stop and help this guy that's bleeding and get myself in an unclean situation where now all these other people are depending on me? Or maybe in our modern context, I'm going down the road and I see a bad situation. Well, everyone's expecting me to teach Bible class in 15 minutes. What do I do here? That's pretty simple for us today because we all have cell phones and we can call another brother or sister who might not have that responsibility at the moment and have them come help us out while we get there if we need to do that. Or there might be somebody else in our modern world in road systems where cars are going by all the time who's able to stop and help and we're able to leave. And there's all kinds of solutions to that that might not have been as easy when you're going down a secluded or isolated dirt road and you find somebody laying there dead, almost dead, and you're deciding what you're going to do. And very clearly in this context, we see the Levite and the priest, they distance themselves from the one who is unclean. They're going to go on their way, and whether it is because they're trying to remain clean for this ritual purity to serve, or if it's just because they think they're too good for this, whatever the situation might be, they make the wrong choice. And it's shown by the fact that this Samaritan, one whom you would not expect, then comes, and he is highlighted. Why? Because of his service. This is the contrast. The good Samaritan comes, and he serves this person who is in need. And he makes the right choice. Rather than going on his way and continuing his journey, he stops to give service to someone who is in a desperate situation. So in the story of Luke, very clearly we see this is the right choice. But then you step into the next verse, and Jesus is in the home of Martha. And we see her busying herself and walking around and serving. Just as this man had served and taken care of somebody, now she's serving Jesus. She's doing a great thing. She's doing something that is so good, just like this good Samaritan. He sees the need to serve, and he stops and serves. And now Martha is showing hospitality to Jesus, as we would expect. Not just in our culture, but even in their culture, and more so in their culture, the need for hospitality and taking care of someone. Again, we have so many blessings in modern times in which we can go find food pretty easily if we want it. We can find a convenient place to lay down fairly simply. It might cost us some money, but it's not all that difficult. In that culture, in that time, hospitality was vital to traveling life. Jesus needed somebody to take him in, to feed him. It wasn't going to be easy to find those things without that. And Martha's doing a very good thing here. But the scene is flipped now, in which we have Martha serving, and it's going to become something that is highlighted as not being the right choice, as opposed to the previous story with the Good Samaritan. And what it comes down to is making the decision in the moment. What is the best choice right now? It was one thing in that moment with the Good Samaritan. It seems to be something different here in this moment with Mary and Martha in her home, and Jesus is there teaching before them. Wisdom means choosing the good part. That's what Jesus ultimately tells Martha. And I think in this text written by Luke and some of the words of Jesus, it really emphasizes some ways in which people miss the better part, in which they miss what is the good part. These are very simple things that we're going to point out right from this text that I think they don't just apply to women who are taking care of people in their homes. They apply to all of us in various ways. And the first of these is it is noted for us in narration by Luke that Martha was distracted. I would suggest that the Levite and the priest were distracted as well. They're not thinking clearly. They're distracted by something. We don't exactly know what it is, whether it is their own self-worth or whether it is something that they feel like they need to do once they get back into town. They're distracted from what is most important. And what we find here with Martha is that Luke says she is distracted with much serving. That is something that's very easy to do, isn't it? I think, and I'm going to get risky here in what I'm going to talk about, but I think every husband understands this situation. You're going to have people into your home, and your wife is going all over every single detail of the house, making sure everything is clean and every spot is taken care of, and she is busying herself because she wants everything to be just right when people come over. And what we realize is that what's most important is that those people are coming over, we're going to spend time with them. And it can be easy to miss some things that are more important because we get caught up in the details. And I think that's what's happening here with Martha. And the same thing can happen to men who really like to clean the house as well. So let's not leave them out. But I think we can see the point even in this immediate context of what's happening with Martha here. That she is distracted by many things. She's distracted by this much serving. She sees all these things that she thinks she needs to do, that she needs to accomplish, and she's missing the greater point. She's missing what is the better part. She's missing the good portion because she's so tied up and distracted with all these other things around her. And it's not just cleaning a house that distracts, is it? Men, we can get very distracted with our work. And we can neglect our families if we aren't careful. Something that's extremely important for every Christian. For our wives and our children to know that we care and we want to spend time with them, that they are important to us. I mean, this is part of what it means to be a good Christian, at least according to Scripture. It's not just about worshiping and singing and praying and all those types of things. Those are very important, and we see that in Scripture as well. But also being a good family person, those of us who are married and have kids, and making sure we're not neglecting that and we're spending so much time in our work that we're allowing it to distract us from something that's more important. Or what about these young people who are about to go away to college? School can be very distracting. You're going from high school, some of you who are just now starting college, you're going into college, it's going to be something very different than what you've experienced before. There are going to be challenges that you've never faced before, and it can be something that's extremely distracting to your spiritual service to God. There's going to be tests, there's going to be papers, there's going to be social life. All these things are going to be much greater than what you've faced before. You would expect the schooling to be a little bit harder, but there are going to be difficulties that you're going to have to go through that could distract you from that which is more important. And the direction we're heading here in that last phrase that Jesus offers Mary, there's one thing that's necessary. Don't ever forget that. There's one thing that's necessary, and it's not your education. I'll tell you that right now. That's great. Being educated is wonderful. But you know what? There have been a whole lot of people in this world who are poorly educated, great Christians. And we have great blessings and advantages in this life, but there is one thing that's necessary. And it's not your school. Now listen, I'm not telling you to be a slacker and not do your work and not do those papers and not take those tests. That's not the message. The message is you plan to do those things in such a way that doesn't distract you from what is most important. It just takes a little bit of planning, a little bit of effort. What about play? We can be distracted by play, by hobbies, by interests that we have. We get so tied up in various things that we like to do that maybe we get distracted from what is most important. What about technology? Have you ever seen technology be a total distraction? I can tell you I definitely have. I think probably teachers can identify with this very well. Some new technology comes along and maybe some other teacher or maybe you're trying to use it and it's just totally distracting from what you're trying to accomplish in teaching your lesson. Or you see others around you as you're trying to teach getting all carried away in all this technology, this tablet they have they're trying to figure out, and you know they're not getting anything you're saying because they're so distracted by something else. Even the most simple things can distract us from what is more important. So we have to make decisions. We have to realize there is something that's good You know, school is good and technology is good and work is good, but maybe there's something that's better that I better make sure I'm planning for around these other things that are good. Because that's where wisdom really comes into play. Choosing the better part and not getting tied up and getting distracted and getting carried away by other things that might be good, but they're just not as important as the one thing that is necessary. You know, even Bible study can be a distraction. What if you have a man who's been away from his family? Or a wife and hasn't been spending much time, hasn't been able to? Maybe they've been spending plenty of time studying their Bible, going to people's homes, but they just haven't spent much time together as a family. Maybe in that moment, the better choice is to say, we're going to have a family night and be together as a family. Rather than packing the whole family up and going to someone else's house and not spending a minute together all night. I understand that's an extreme situation, but it comes down to making a choice, and in a moment, something that might seem completely contrary to what we think would be right would be the better decision in that moment. And what that means is it's really complex. We're never promised that it's going to be easy to make the right choices. We're going to have to think and use our minds and try to do the best we can. And sometimes we're going to mess up, and that's just how it is. But we use that the next time as we're trying to make choices and make decisions. Because it's very easy to get distracted from what is most important. The other thing that I just hadn't noticed before when I come to this text is what is just this self-pity that Martha has. And really, there's no nice way to say this, but basically, some just allow their self-focus and self-indulgence to get in the way of their own success and the success of other people. And that's what's happening with Martha here. I don't think she has ill intent or that she's a bad person, but in this moment at least, she's very self-involved. And she comes to Jesus, basically it seems interrupts him with what he's doing, and says, "Do you not care? Don't you care about me, Jesus, and what I'm going through?" And then she even goes a step further and says, "Go tell her to help me." I'm fairly certain that Martha hadn't thought through all the implications of what's going on in this conversation with Jesus, the fact that she's commanding the Lord what to do, and that she's telling her sister who's sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching, and she's telling Jesus to go tell her to get up and forsake his teaching and to help her with all her service. I doubt that had gone through her mind, but that's kind of what happens when we get distracted, isn't it? And we're getting focused on what we want to accomplish. And this is what really self-pity is all about. No one else cares about what I'm doing. No one understands what I'm going through. They don't realize how hard my classes are, how hard this test is going to be, how much work I have to do at work. And so we start telling ourselves all these stories that no one cares, no one understands. And some of these things are going to build, by the way. The distraction leads to the self-pity. It's going to cause these various other problems that we have in life that keep us from focusing on what we need to focus on, that which is most important. And then what happens here is the person disengages. They're not involved with what's taking place, maybe in the congregational setting. Well, no one is really concerned with my concerns, so why should I be interested? Do you not care what I'm going through? What I would say is, do you not see that you're missing the good portion? When we get in this state where we disengage and we're thinking about ourselves, and I'm thinking, no one cares about what I'm going through, no one understands the difficulties I have, and why won't anyone help me? We don't think about the fact that maybe what we think is most important isn't most important. And maybe what Martha thought was most important in the moment just really wasn't most important. And she's telling Jesus, "Don't you care about what I'm going through? Why don't you tell Mary to come help me?" And he's thinking, this is not the most important thing in the world. You're distracted by all these things that don't really matter, essentially. And you're missing what is the most important thing. And sometimes in our self-pity, we don't realize the fact that what we think isn't the most important thing. What I might think is the most important thing in the moment might just not be it. And what someone else is doing might be a lot more important than what I'm doing. And some of that comes from just lack of perspective. from getting tied up and distracted by various cares and difficulties and thinking that's what's most important, when really there's only one necessary thing, and maybe that person's doing it, and we want to pull them away from that which is necessary to help us with what we want to do. That seems to be what Martha is doing here. That Levite and that priest, they're going down the road and they think, well, I've got these things I've got to get done. I don't have time to stop and help this guy. I've got to take care of this business. I've got to go help. I've got to go lead this service. I've got to go do this duty. I can't stop and do this. Don't people realize what I have to do? I don't know what the Samaritan was going to do, but it didn't really matter. He realized that what was most necessary was right before him. He needed to take care of that, no matter how important anything else was, where he was headed or what he was planning to do. Because in the moment, that was the better choice. And then Jesus identifies what is a major concern for Martha here. He says, "You are anxious and troubled about many things." Again, I'm going to get a little bit risky here, but I just have to think when I read that text, in a moment like this in my home, what if I stopped and said, "Katie, you are just anxious and troubled about many things." Of course, he was the Son of God, so he had the right to say that. Can you imagine the reaction? If we said that to somebody, you know, they're busy serving and trying to get all this stuff done, and I'm like, "Hey, these people are here. We need to sit and talk to them." And I go, "Well, you're just anxious and troubled. I mean, we just need to sit down and talk." Probably wouldn't get a very good reaction to that. Martha was so tied up, she didn't realize. She was so anxious and worried about caring for Jesus. What she failed to see is that's not what Jesus wanted. That's not what Jesus was concerned with. He was much more interested that she would listen to his teaching. And he was much more interested that Mary was listening to the teaching. But when we get distracted and when we busy ourselves with things that aren't really the most important thing, and then we get caught up in this and we get anxious and we worry about things that don't really matter. Again, they might be really good things, just like Martha's doing here. Or it might be our job that's really important and God expects us to take care of our family. And we need to be doing well at our schoolwork. It's important that we have a good social life, that we get to know our brethren, that we get to have good friends. All those things are vital. But in the moment, it might be that's not the most important thing. And we can get really anxious and worried about something that is not most vital in the moment. And when we do that, we miss what is the most important thing, the good portion. We are destroying for ourselves what is the most beneficial thing in the moment. And that's what Jesus, I believe, is trying to gently show Martha. I don't think he's trying to indicate that what she's doing is bad. It's certainly not bad to be hospitable and to serve. It's not bad that women want to clean and have their houses look great when people come over. That's a good thing. It's not bad that men want to work hard and sometimes work too hard at their jobs. That's not a bad motivation, a bad feeling. But the reality is it might not be the most important thing in the moment. And what the story tells us is we have to make decisions when we come to these forks in the road. We have to decide, is this the best decision or is this the best decision? Do I really need to be working 3 hours over tonight to get this done? Or should I really be spending time with my family? Should I really be going to services? Should I really be doing something else that's much more important to my life? The one necessary thing, is that what I really should be doing instead of this other thing that I'm worried and anxious about? And by the way, that it's not going to remain. Everything else is going to be done away with, he ultimately says. And what it comes down to is this last reality, which is this is a lack of perspective on Martha's part or on our part with the various things we get tied up with, our work or our play or our school or whatever it might be. It comes down to a lack of perspective. Our minds aren't focused. They aren't centered correctly. And when that happens, we get distracted and we have self-pity and we begin to worry and we get anxious about things that really are just not important when it comes down to it. Read this last line with me again. He answers, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." How many people have spent hours dedicated to their job and have that job torn away from them? It's happened quite a bit lately, hasn't it? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be loyal to our employers. I think we should. But when we're sacrificing other things in life for that job, we better make sure we understand that job can be taken away in a moment. And although it might seem like the most important thing in the world to me at some moment in my life, the next day my employer might say it's not. Say, well, we've reorganized. Or we're not making enough money. And what we thought was so vital is not really doing us any good anymore. Sometimes we can lack perspective. We allow ourselves to get distracted by all the things in the world around us that seem so vital, so important. But what Jesus wants the reader to see here, and what Luke is conveying in his story, is that there's only one thing that's really necessary. And that is that we listen to the words of Jesus Christ and we do his will. And if we do that, a lot of these other things are going to fall in place. You know, if we do that, we're going to be good homemakers, ladies. We're going to be good workers and support our families. We're going to be a good friend. We're going to be hospitable. We're going to be dedicated to our work and school. We're going to do all these things because that is the nature of someone who's going to follow after Jesus Christ and do things to their best ability. But there's only one thing that is absolutely necessary, and that is following the will of Jesus Christ and pleasing God the Father. Amen. Jesus said it this way: seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Doesn't it strike you as interesting that he's so casual about how he refers to clothing and food and drink? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things, they're going to be added. What that says is they're not really that important. We think they are. We think all these things are so important. But what he says, if you seek first God's kingdom, all those other things, they're going to take care of themselves. Because that's the one thing that's really necessary in life. So we're thinking about decisions. We're thinking about wisdom, having good discernment. Whatever state we are in life, whether we are young, dealing with peer pressure in middle school, high school, whether we are making a change in life, going to college, thinking about our careers, and worrying about school, whether we already have a job and we're focused on our career now, whether we are in the time of retirement and thinking about what we're going to do with our life in retirement, it doesn't matter where we are. What it comes down to is that wisdom means we are making the best choice. It is not good enough just to say, well, that's good. The reality is there might be something else that's much better in that moment. It was good that Martha wanted to serve. But what Jesus says, it'd be a lot better if you just sit down from your serving and listen to these words that have divine influence on your life. What's most important in this moment tonight is whether or not you are in Christ. You got to wake up tomorrow maybe and go to your job. Maybe you have children to take care of in your home. But you know what? Those things are important, but they're not as important in this moment as whether or not you've dedicated your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you haven't done that, you are outside of his atoning sacrifice. You don't have his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And what you can do at this very moment is decide that you want to give up your self-will for Jesus. Give your life to him, die with him in a death like his, being buried in baptism and then be raised up in newness of life, ready to be an instrument of righteousness in the army of the Lord. Can we help you do that this evening? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together?